Hello, and welcome to this podcast. In case you have just found it, I'm Cindy Pierce, and several years ago I started a Bible study about the women in the Bible. Each week I would read the story of a woman straight from the Bible with some thoughts about the story. Then we would talk about some of her characteristics and how they could be applied to our lives, or lessons to be learned in the story. I loved doing that study, and I was so excited about it that other women from work wanted to participate, and I ended up doing two or three groups several times a week. At the encouragement of some of those ladies, I started recording them, and this podcast was born. For this episode, I will read the story from the Bible with some background. I use the New American Standard because that's what I grew up reading. One of the things I love about this Bible study is that God's Word says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So I believe that as you listen or study along, that God will speak to your heart. I hope you enjoy this as much as I have. This is the first episode in the New Testament. There are 16 women from the Old Testament on previous episodes. They're all available on Spotify and Apple Podcast. But today, let's read about Elizabeth. So today's study on Elizabeth is found in Luke chapter 1. It's the only gospel that tells the story of Elizabeth. You know, sometimes when we're going through the Gospels, we reread a story we thought we already read because the four Gospels tell some of the same stories from different people's points of view. Luke, who wrote this Gospel, was actually a physician, so there's a lot of detail about humanity and from a different perspective than some of the other stories. So we are going to start in Luke 1. And we're going to start in verse 5. The first part of Luke is just him telling that he's the author. So in verse 5 it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." So a little bit of background here. Aaron was the brother of Moses and was the first priest of Israel. He had four sons, and two of them did not do the services in the temple the way they were supposed to, and so their lives were shortened. But his other two produced many descendants. And by the time we get to King David, he chose 24 male descendants to lead 24 divisions or clans of priests to perform priestly duties, like sacrifices at the temple and taking care of the temple and different jobs in the temple. So by the time the temple was built in Solomon's time, these priests had jobs or roles to do. So by the time we get to Luke 1, the 24 divisions lived throughout Jerusalem, and they served as priests during the three major feasts: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the one where they went out and lived in little booths, little huts. So during those times, the cities filled with pilgrims and sacrifices increased. So the 24 different divisions took turns in the same order to return to Jerusalem every 6 months to serve as priests for 1 week, starting and ending on the Sabbath. Well, Abijah, the one that Zacharias is from, was the 8th division, and they started at the end of Passover in the months of June and July, and then again in December and January. And both Elizabeth and Zacharias were descendants of Aaron. So in Luke 1:6 it says, "They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord." This verse is amazing because there are very few people in the Bible that it says that they walked blamelessly. And especially there are a few men, but I don't think there's another woman of whom it says that they were righteous in the sight of God and walked blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. In verse 7 it says, "But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years." Verse 8 says, "Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense." So a couple of thoughts here. One, it's interesting because The Gospels are the first time in 400 years that anyone has heard, been spoken to by God. We haven't heard, God's been very quiet from the end of Malachi to the beginning of the Gospels, and it's been a long quiet time. So it's interesting that right here at the beginning of the Gospel, we are going to have communication from the Lord to Zacharias. And it's also interesting because it parallels Abraham and Sarah. Because if we look back in Genesis 18:11, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing years. So first, I love that they were both righteous and walked blamelessly. And it makes me think of Galatians 6:9 that says, "Do not grow weary in well-doing." So they both just kept on keeping on. They did what they knew to do. They walked blamelessly. They obeyed the commandments of the Lord. They just lived and did good in the sight of God, and they did not grow weary in well doing. They just kept on doing what they knew to do. And so I love the phrase in verse 8, "Now it happened," because there's so many times in the Bible where you're just going along daily life, same old, everything's the same, and then suddenly, sometimes the word is suddenly, suddenly, or now it happened, or it came to pass. All of those phrases that start a verse typically mean all of a sudden, God can completely change the course of someone's life, the course of circumstances in just an instant. And so in verse 8, that's going to happen. So he's doing his priestly duties that he knows to do. It's his division. That's what it's talking about, where it's his group's turn to be in the temple. And then where it said that he was chosen by lot to enter the temple, they would take turns being the one to do the incense. And of course, not by chance, but because of God's divine appointment, it was his turn to go into the temple and burn the incense. And something interesting about incense here, when it was his turn to do that, anytime we see the incense being offered in Leviticus 16:7, they would offer the incense at morning and night. And it's oftentimes associated with the prayers of people. So in Psalm 141:2, it talks about incense being the prayers of the people. So if we notice in the next verse, in 10, the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So as the incense being offered up, the people are praying, and he's gone in to perform that duty. And it says in 11, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him, as I'm sure it would us. Here he is alone. No one's allowed in or out of the temple. He's the only one in there. And suddenly this being appears. So immediately, because he's afraid, the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of righteous, of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So he's just in there performing his duty, knows what he's supposed to be doing, and this angel appears. He's afraid, but then the angel starts speaking to him. And verse 13 is awesome because it says, "Your petition has been heard." So after the point about don't grow weary in well-doing, keep doing what you know to do, keep being obedient, be patient, this verse also just speaks to me, and that it's, what has God planted in your heart? I'm sure, because the phrase says, "Your petition has been heard," that they had been praying for a son. Who knows for how long? So for many, many years, they had been praying for a child, and the angel now is saying, "Your petition has been heard." So I just want to say, how many years have you been praying for something? Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's a dream of something God's told you to do. Maybe it's something you believe God was going to do through you. Whatever that dream whatever that petition is that is in your heart, and you have gotten tired of asking for it, or you've put it on the shelf, or you've just forgot about it. Whatever of those that God has planted in your heart, His timing is not our timing, and at some point, especially if it was a dream or a thought or a petition from God, He will hear you, and your petition will be heard. So I just love that that finally came to pass for them. It was a long time and it was a long wait, but they were faithful in waiting. They patiently waited, and here is the fruition of their petition. So verse 18 is very interesting because he's standing here talking to an angel, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and bring to you this good news." So that just kind of makes me laugh, because it's kind of like, hello, you're talking to an angel. What other sign do you need? But in verse 20, the angel says, "Behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which we will be fulfilled in their proper time." So if we go back again and look at the parallel with Abraham and Sarah, in Genesis 15:6, it says, "Abraham believed, and God, he reckoned it to him as righteousness." So God knows our hearts, and he knew that Abraham believed when he told him in his old age that he would have a son. And if you remember in that story, Sarah laughed, and the angels confronted her and said, "Why are you laughing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm not laughing." And they said, "But you did." And in this story too, God knows Zechariah's heart, and he says, "You did not believe me. You did not believe my words when I said it, and so therefore you will be silent." So remember, for Zacharias, this is the first time in 400 years that anyone has heard any message from God. So you would think that since he saw an angel standing before him, that he would be quick to believe, but he wasn't. So the next just point that I want to make here is, don't let us be the ones who don't believe. If God has spoken something to your heart, keep believing. Keep on believing, because here in Luke 1:21, where he says, "You did not believe my words," I would say only believe. Like, just believe what God has placed in your heart and what God's told you. Our time frame is not his time frame, but he always does what he says he's going to do. So only believe. In verse 21, it says the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. So he should have just gone in, lit the incense, come back out. But now it's been a while. And when he came out, in verse 22, he was unable to speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. So remember, we said he came into Jerusalem, did his days of duty, and then he went home to Elizabeth. So all he can do at that point is try and make signs to them. He could probably write things, because we see later that he does, but he couldn't really talk to anybody. So he goes home to Elizabeth, and I'm sure he wrote down and told her what had happened. But in verse 24, it says, "After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, 'This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace from among men.'" So if you remember, we've talked a lot about women in the Old Testament and how for women to be barren was a disgrace. Like, that's what their role was. And so when it didn't happen, they felt disgraced. So we knew about Sarah, who was very advanced in age before she had a child. Rebecca, Isaac had to pray for her to become, she was barren at first as well, and he prayed for her and she became pregnant. Rachel and Leah, well, Leah didn't, but Rachel had a hard time, and that became a battle between the two of them over who could have children. And then even Hannah with Samuel, when she went to the temple and just cried out for God to have favor on her. So Elizabeth is excited, and yet she goes into seclusion. So that is very interesting because you would think, well, she's pregnant, she's excited, she's out there. But I think that part of the seclusion for her was to keep from hearing people doubting. Like, you know, she didn't show for a while, so she couldn't really say. People would say, well, what do you mean you're pregnant? You're too old to be pregnant. And she didn't need to hear all the negative voices. So she hid herself away in seclusion. And in verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, so she's 6 month of what? It's the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, because that's who we've been talking about. So in verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And I'm going to stop there because this is Mary's story, and I will do that one in the next podcast. But for today, this is Elizabeth's story. So we're going to skip down to verse 36. And in verse 36, it says, the angel is speaking to her, and he says to her, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. And verse 37 is awesome because it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So I love this because the angel's talking to Mary, and he's telling her not just an overview, like he's telling her specifically that one of your relatives is pregnant, how far along she is. And I love that Luke wrote this because he's giving the details of this pregnancy in this gospel. So I also like the part where it says, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, because basically Elizabeth was labeled like, oh, the barren one. Like, that was her label. He literally says, she who was called barren. So she's no longer barren. So in verse 39, it says, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So as quick as she could, she packed up her stuff and went in a hurry to greet Elizabeth. And it says that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So this is amazing, right? Because they don't have Instagram. They don't have FaceTime where they can call and tell, I'm coming and this is what's happening. So the angel told Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant. So she went to her. But the angel also, not the angel, but the Holy Spirit is also speaking through Elizabeth right now. So how do we know she was filled with the Spirit? Well, first of all, the Bible says that she was in verse 41. And then secondly, because how did she know that Mary was not only pregnant, but that she was pregnant with the mother of her Lord? And so basically she's prophesying, and she says that the baby inside me leaped for joy, which goes back to Luke 1:15, where when the angel spoke to the to Zechariah, he told him, I'm going back to 1:15, hang on just 1 second, let's see. In 1:15, he told him and said, he will be great in the sight of the Lord, he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. So here, when the baby leaps at the sound of Mary, the baby and Elizabeth are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I also love the exact deliberate wording in verse 43 that says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And I think this is so important, because back in the verse where it was talking about Zechariah, it literally said, because you did not believe my words. So just the difference of the Lord knowing Zechariah's heart and that he didn't believe, and knowing Mary's heart and that she did believe, and that the wording is so deliberate there. So the next part, I'm going to skip again, because that's Mary and how she responds to that, and we'll come back to that. But in verse 55, the very end of her proclamation, she says, and he, God, spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. I love that she ends with that, because we're going back to the story of Abraham and Sarah, and it keeps getting referenced because it's so parallel to that story. So Mary mentions Abraham as well. And then verse 56 says, and Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. So if we think about 3 months, I'm just going to give you a little sneak preview of the timing. Remember, the angel came when she was 6 months. And so 3 more months, and it's going to be time for the baby to be delivered. So there's nothing specific here about if she left, returned home before or after. It doesn't tell us. However, it is likely that she stayed, because women relatives would often help the midwives when there was a birth. They would have stayed to help. So could she have stayed until the birth and seen John the Baptist get born? I believe she did. It doesn't say she did, and we will find out when we get to heaven and can ask all the questions that we want. But I just think the timing of that is fascinating, and I think she stayed the whole time. So in Luke 1:57, it says, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. So a couple of things here. I love that her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his mercy to her. And I think verse 59, where they actually talk about the circumcision, is so interesting for two reasons. First of all, it's interesting that Luke is the one talking about it. So he's very descriptive about all the things that happen in childbirth and then the procedure of circumcising the child. But also, this again points back to the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17:9, where God told him to keep my covenant, you and your descendants, throughout their generations. So even this act in verse 59 is pointing back to what God told them to do in Genesis, and it's been carried out for all of these generations. So that's part of God's covenant. It's still happening. They're doing everything according to his covenant, even down to circumcising their child at this point. So they want to name the child Zacharias after his father. But in verse 60, it says, but his mother answered and said, no, indeed, he shall be called John. And they said to her, are you crazy? No, they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who's called by that name. They just can't believe that she's doing this. That this is the son they've been longing for. Typically, the son was named after the father. So they made signs to the father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, his name is John. And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And then the next verses are Zacharias. It says in 67 that his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit. So now the whole family has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes through and has a prophecy as well and says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he's visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father. So there it is again, paralleling, pointing everything back to Abraham and Sarah, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And verse 80 says, and the child continued to grow, to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So that is the last part that gets said about Elizabeth. And we've brought up several points through the way about not growing weary and doing well, being patient and doing what God's commanded us and told us to do. We talked about what God's put in your heart, that your petition has been heard, and that we need to only believe. We want to be ones that believe, not ones that don't believe. And we talked about, I think it's really important also to watch your words. So Zechariah was muted. God did not let him speak once he understood that he didn't believe the words, because God did not want him to uproot the seed that had been planted. So he kept him quiet, because Proverbs says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and he didn't need Zechariah's doubt and negativity to uproot that seed of faith that he had planted in Elizabeth. If we think back to Abraham and Sarah, Sarah was the one in Genesis that didn't believe. And she was confronted about laughing. And of course she said, I didn't do it. But they said, oh, you did. He did not want her doubt to be what caused that promise to not come to pass. So he confronted her with it. Abraham believed and God knew it, but he had to confront Sarah about it. And in this case, Elizabeth believed, but she went into seclusion because she didn't need people speaking doubt. And since she wasn't showing yet, she didn't need people going, what? What are you talking about? You can't be pregnant. You're too old. So she went into seclusion because she had faith and she wanted to keep her faith solid and not be swayed or dismissed by other people. And then lastly, I just want to talk about how gracious God is and how well he plans for us ahead of time, even when we don't know it. God literally sent a helper and an encourager to both women. Mary needed an escape. She was in a town where she was now pregnant, even though she wasn't married yet, and I'm sure the gossip was going to be crazy. So she hurried, packed up, left, and went to stay with her relative. So at the same time, so God prepares a place for her to come to. And Elizabeth, who remember at the very beginning, was righteous and walked blamelessly in all the commandments of the Lord. Here she is with Elizabeth 4 months, where Elizabeth is speaking wisdom and teaching of a lifetime into Mary, who is going to be the mother of Jesus. So how I would have loved to have been in on those conversations, where they talked about scripture being fulfilled, where they talked about prophecies being fulfilled, where they talked about the visit of angels, where they talked about faith and faith growing, and they were able to encourage and praise and love each other during those months when they both needed it so bad, and that God set that up for them to be relatives, to be able to come together like that. And if we think about it on the other side, remember Elizabeth was advanced in age and now she's at the end of her pregnancy. So you can picture her with her hand on her back, waddling around, trying to get things done. And she has Mary, who probably isn't even showing yet and can physically be her help during those last months, where she could care for her physically and help prepare the meals and help do the chores that needed to be done while she was pregnant in her advanced age. And as I said, I think Mary probably stayed there until the birth. And if she got to stay there and experience that and help that, how important that was for Mary, because in a few short months, it was going to come around to her to being by herself with only Joseph in a stable. And she was going to need that experience that she walked through earlier to be able to get through that on her own. So I just love, because experiences are always a little easier if we know what's happening and if we already know how it's supposed to go. So that would have just meant the world to her to get to be able to walk through that with Elizabeth before she had to do that on her own. And God just worked out all the details, big and little. He set everything up. They were relatives. He told them the details so that they could get together. He just brought people into each other's lives so that this whole transition was easier. And it made me think, too, in testimonies where we write down that God has been faithful to us. When we go back and look at that, if we're faithful to write that down, I love that it's never one big thing that happened. If you talk to someone about their testimony and they kept the details, it's always a lot of little things that happened. A person being in the right place at the right time, some encouragement, some little miraculous thing that happened right when it had to kind of give you the encouragement to get to the next step. I just love that God is a God of details and that He works all of that out for us. So that is the story of Elizabeth. Join me next for the story of Mary. And thank you for listening.